Turn to the book of Joel. You got it? Say amen. All right, book of Joel, chapter 3, and verse number 16. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. The Lord would help me for a few minutes. I want to preach on a place of repair. The reason I do that is because sometimes in the marginal reference, you will find a more literal understanding of what the translators were trying to get to us when they said, but the Lord will be the hope of his people, the strength of the children of Israel. In my marginal reference, it said, place of repair or a harbor. Place of repair. Now, the reason that I bring this to your attention this morning is just the suggestion is so strong that we are on a voyage, and the voyage has encountered a great storm. We have never been in America so ravaged by the storms, both economically, and the stability of a family has been just hammered, because now they are trying to say that Sally and Sue can form a family, and that Hank and Joe can be a family, and that they can raise children. And the storm has hit the family. In the latest thing that I read of the Dayton News was the fact that the decline of marriages is the greatest it's been in a long time. People are just not getting married. They're living with one another. And the family has suffered the storm. It has hit the family. Our children will not have the same convictions a generation from now that we hold now, because they're being fought against. They're being wrestled from us. And our government is supplying the nod of approval that is politically incorrect to deny anybody their sense of happiness, as they say. We need a place to flee. We need a place to go. We need something that is stable. We need a place where we can go hide till the storm passes over.
Right.
Politically, I've never seen a time in America. I remember the uproar when the first Catholic ran for government office, especially the presidential office. And now we have a Mormon in the front running. It is something that we just wouldn't have never believed. But there it is, and we're facing it. America, with her doctrine of not being intolerant, has to open their arms to everything. Oh, you're not helping me? But it may be just my fault. You see, I don't know about you, but I can see the storm of the tribulation coming. And I can see from the roaring of the thunder and the flash of the lightning that there's really a storm coming. And this is only, just not only here, but across the world, people are suffering. Stability of the whole world system is shaking. And if ever was a place when I need to direct the people who come to 3201 Dryden Road, I need to tell you there is a place of repair. Before some of us get to the harbor, there's going to be some loss. Paul got caught in the storm called Arachidon, and the ship was lost, and the cargo was lost. And the only things that didn't get lost were the souls that God promised to Paul. I tell you that if Paul could have found a harbor, he would have said to the captain, please, anchor here till the storm passes by.
Right.
I look out at our young people, and we have some beautiful young people. Then we have some beautiful children, and I see coming upon them a storm that they're going to have to weather till the Lord gets here.
Right.
I'd like for parents to join me this morning and tell them, when things get too rough and you can no longer handle it, there is a place where you can flee.
Right.
When trials come and temptations overwhelm you and your heart is overwhelmed, the psalmist said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me. You see, there is a place that Joel was saying, the Lord will be the hope of his people, or the place of repair, or a harbor from the storm. And it is in this that we place the very need of our day today is safety. We need to be safe and secure. We need to know what we believe and believe what we know. And we need to bring that sense of wanting to be safe. Not, I think I'll be all right if the rapture was to happen. I think I can make it. I believe I'm good enough. We need to lay aside all the childish whims and know something for certain.
Right.
That if we're going to get to heaven, we've got to have a know-so salvation.
Right.
We've got to know that our sins are under the blood. We've got to know that our position with Christ is secure. We've got to know that everything in our heart is right. The only way to safety is to have somebody who can take care of the heart. You see, you can't and I can't, because we have already proven, or we wouldn't have had our hearts broken and disappointed. If we thought we could have taken care of our heart, we would have guarded it with all diligence like the Bible tells us, and we wouldn't have got that bit of gossip in there, or we wouldn't have got that little bit of information that has embittered our heart and made us to think thoughts that were impure. You see, when you have misgivings about another child of God, there's something wrong with your heart.
All right.
Amen. The devil is probably the best there is to raise storms. He just does it with such a sly tactic that he blames it on somebody else. But to listen to the Apostle Paul when he simply states these words. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Right.
Our enemies are not the ones we're looking at. Our enemies are the ones that we can't see. It's the hidden force behind the scene. If your heart was really Christ-like, would you hesitate in forgiving those that were crucifying you? If your heart was really Christ-like, could you pray for their forgiveness, though they had nailed you to a cross and ripped the skin off of your back? I say yes, if we had a Christ-like spirit. You see, where we're at today is a stormy place, and if we're not careful, it will affect our heart. And we will become disappointed, and we'll get disappointed with the church, and we'll get disappointed with the people we go to church with. We'll look and say to that person, are they really saved? Who brought that thought? Is there a sin that Jesus Christ cannot forgive? Is there a sin the blood of Jesus cannot wash away? Is there really a sin other than blaspheme of the Holy Ghost? Is there another sin? Is it adultery? Is it fornication? Is it lying? Is it death? Is it murder? What is that other sin that the blood cannot wash away? And yet we see the grace of God being given to people whose lives have been wrecked. And their past is full of sordid things. And if we listen to the devil, he'll say, you got to watch them. They can't be saved in that situation. And the Apostle Paul says of the place of repair to the church at Corinth, and he said, and such were some of you. You were caught in that storm. You were viciously being torn apart in that storm, but you have been brought into the harbor, and you have been justified. You have been washed and justified. You have been glorified. You have been made new in Christ. Is there a place that a man walking through those doors can find an altar? Call it a place of repair, where God can take a broken life and put it back together.
Amen.
Or will you vote in the process of handing out applications? I love churches who take applications, don't you? They want them to fill out an application because before they come to this altar, we want to check them out to make sure now that when you get saved, you'll be good enough to come here. Oh my, good enough to come where? Good enough, and such were some of you. Such was some of your past that you will hand out an application to somebody else. Listen to what the Bible says about the people who come to this harbor to get fixed. There's none good. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then are we going to tell God who to save, who to help, who to befriend? No, we should say to those that are caught in the storm of sin, there is a place of repair. We should say to those whose homes are being broken and ravished, we should say to them, there's a place of repair. We should say to our children, you may have been wrong, but you can get right at this place of repair. Your ship that's been ravished by the storm, your mast may have been broken. You may have lost some sails, but come on in here. God is a master of the harbor, and He can fix your ship so you can sail again. There is a place of repair. Amen. You may never have been through a storm. I've been through a couple of storms where all I wanted to do was find a place where I could cry. I just wanted to cry. I just had enough, and I didn't want everybody to see me cry, and I just wanted God to put me in a place for a while where there's quiet so I could just bury my head and weep it out and get it out of my heart. My grandpa struck. He died the same year that I was born, but he got saved, and grandpa used to tell his children, he said, I love to cry. He said, I love to cry, he said. Before he got saved, he didn't like to cry. But he said, after I got saved, he said, I just love to cry. He said, it just makes me feel like everything is being washed out on the inside. And sometimes we need that harbor where we can find peace so we can weep it out. But sometimes we can forgive after we weep a while. Sometimes we can feel more compassionate after we weep a while. Sometimes after we get our feelings back in order, we can forgive other people's feelings about us. All of this comes from the harbor of repair. Do you want to know there is a place where you can go when your life seems to be all tore up? There is a place. The Lord is the hope of His people.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. You see, it's not only a place of safety and it's a place of repair, but it's a place of rest. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad that there are a place that you can go and find rest.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you don't have to battle the storm always. You see, the harbor is one of those places that is well light, well lit, so you can find your way in. And you can be saved from the storms that's breaking out there in the ocean of life. There is a place of rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can anybody out there help me preach this morning? I'm not going to preach long. I just want to talk to you about what's on my heart, and then I'm going to take my place, and you can go and do the rest of the day what you feel like you need to do. And I wish some of the things that you do on Sunday you wouldn't do. I can see you going out and getting a piece of chicken, But I can't see you going out and shopping all day and then come back here and try to help me have church at night.
Amen.
You need some rest. Oh, that was not nice of me, was it? That was not nice at all to catch you like that. That wasn't nice. But it's true anyway. You make Sunday just like any other day and you come back Sunday night, you're so far out of step. Come on into this harbor today. Come on into this harbor and rest. Let your mind meditate upon the Lord. Let your heart be given over to prayer and meditation. Let your feelings rest for a day. Be healed. Be rest. You see, when Jesus always came to a storm, it ended. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He was in the storm one time and asleep, and they woke him and he stopped it. But there's one time when they was in a storm and he came to them, and the Bible said that he got on that ship and immediately it was at shore. Now, I like things like that. I like immediate results. I can only find them when the harbor master gets on the boat. But when the harbor master gets on the boat, he can get it safe to shore. Can I get an amen? No matter how bad the storm is, when the harbor master steps on, he can get it safe to shore. In fact, it is a written law of the land that if you bring a ship in, you got to have a harbor master that gets you to the place of docking. And I think that we ought to learn that lesson again. You want out of the storm, let him on board. If you let him on board, you can rest. It didn't say that the disciples rowed the rest of the way. It said immediately. How do you row a boat immediately?
Right.
You can't get your oar down in time to row when it's immediately. Right. Immediately is immediately, right? Immediately is so soon you can't row. So they got in the ship and they were used to rowing and they had it all ready to row into shore and they were there. Whap, right there. There it is. That's the way he works it. When you've toiled all night and you can't get any rest, let him on board. And all of a sudden you'll find your place of rest. How many's ever had him come to you in a stormy night? You whispered the name of Jesus and peace came over you and you laid your head down in peace and rested. So that is where we are this morning. We're looking at the place of repair. I tell you, there is a harbor where you can do as the scripture says. Look at Psalms, and it says in Psalms 55 and 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Oh, that's a place of rest. You got to come into the harbor, though, to do it. You got to cast that burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. You see, you get next to him, you can unload that heavy cargo. You can get that burden, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Right.
Listen to it again. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. That literal translation of that just means roll thy ways upon the Lord. Give it to him. Give it to him. You're at the place now where he will take it and fix it. And I wish Joe Bill was about 20 years younger or 30 years younger so he could get up here this morning and say, Jesus is a fix-it man. Because that's where the harbor is. In that harbor, there's a fix-it man. He can fix souls and he can fix bodies. But he can fix you. That's more important than whether it's soul or body is immaterial. He's interested in you and your wholeness. He doesn't want you to be maimed. He doesn't want you to be lame. He doesn't want you to be ineffective. He wants you to be effective. He'd like for you to be such a joyous Christian at work that you would be infectious. That joy would be wondered at. How in the middle of a storm can you sing? Well, ask Paul and Silas. They were in the prison, but they made harbor, even in those such rough circumstances. Feet in a stock, back beaten, in a prison, stinking, rotten, corrupted prison. But there they find the harbor. They keep following the light and they keep singing those songs until finally the harbor master shows up and he takes them safely out of the storm. I can tell you today that I feel this in my heart, that I'm preaching to somebody. You say, what am I going to do? I'm going to tell you, follow the light to the harbor. Get out of that storm. You can't handle it. Come out of there. You can't handle it. your children are breaking your heart, there's a harbor that repairs the broken heart. You're disappointed that your marriage is no more than it is. There's a harbor where you can get it fixed. You say, my life is so out of step. But there's a harbor where it can be fixed. There is somebody there that can fix it for you. Oh, come on, somebody say amen real loud. You see, it's a place not only of rest, and it's not a place of safety, but it's also a place of supply. You see, you go into harbor, you unload and you load. And not only are you allowed to unload, and I wish some of you would, it would be great that you would tell Jesus about that like you've been telling your friends. I don't think you would talk to Jesus that way. I don't think you would talk about your neighbor that way if you was talking to Jesus. There's some things you need to unload. You need to get it out of there. You need to get it out of there because it's going to sink your ship.
Amen.
Amen. It's going to sink your ship in that storm you're in. You need to be able to tell the Lord, I'd like to get rid of this, and I'd like to take on a load of that. You see, David in his storm with Bathsheba, and what a storm it was. David just about lost it all. But you read the 51st Psalm. How many's ever read the 51st Psalm? I've read it and reread it. I've wept with David as I read it. And listen to David as he said, oh God, cleanse me. Cleanse me. I got to get rid of this, Lord. It's sinking me. It's sinking me. It's tearing me up, Lord. I got to get rid of this. And he asked God to cleanse him of it. Then he said, oh Lord, after I get rid of this, I want you to restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I want to get rid of that, but I want you to put something back in. I don't want to go out there on the ship and back out on the sea of life empty, but I want to cargo with something that will sustain me. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Come on, anybody out there, shout amen. I'm almost done, and I need to tell you, you need to unload some stuff. You need to unload some bitterness. You need to unload some envy. You need to unload whatever it is that's keeping you out of God's use. You have to unload before you can take anything else. How many know that? If your heart is full of the love of God, you don't have room for bitterness. If your heart is full of the love of God, you don't have any room for strife. If your heart is full of the love of God, you don't have any room for competitiveness. There's not there. If your heart is full of something, but you first got to come into the harbor, out of that storm, and you've got to forgive. And you got to say, God, now I'm ready for you to unload this. I am ready to unload. I am ready to get rid of. I don't want it anymore in my life. I don't want it anymore. I don't want to bear it another day. I want to get rid of this cargo so I can take on something that's going to be worth carrying. Come and know the joy of the Lord and the peace of God are given by the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
How about it then, my friends, my precious people? Can I entice you to come into the harbor this morning? Can I entice you to come into the harbor out of the storm? Can I entice you to bring that load up here? Turn that boy over to Jesus. Turn that girl over to Jesus. Turn that marital problem over to Jesus. Turn that troubles over to Jesus. If you got a problem, he can solve it. If you got a question, he can answer it. If you need a direction, he'll tell you. If you have something that you cannot handle, he will handle it for you. But you've got to come to the place of repair. The Lord is the hope of his people.
Amen.
Amen. You know what it calls our teenagers to get along with one another and quit this bickering? You didn't know these sweet little teenagers that we got would ever have a problem with one another. As sweet as they are and as pretty as they are, you would never suspect that they have problems with one another. Surprise me. Of course, everything that goes around finally ends up at old BD's position, and here I am this morning. My precious little children, love one another. Come into this harbor and dump whatever it is that's got between you and your friend.
Oh yes, oh yes.
You need one another. Boys, come in here until you can fellowship and pray with one another and pray one for another. Come on in this harbor so you can be repaired.
Yes, right.
Don't get involved in your parents' disagreements. Oh, I stepped up a little bit, didn't I? Well, now that I'm up here, let me deal with you parents. Because you talk aloud sometimes and your children hear and they have to take sides.
Oh, yes.
And when you force your child into taking sides, you are not doing them well. You are driving a wedge. And you sometimes are guilty of why your children do not go to church with you. They judge the Christianity that this church produces by their parents. Can I say to mom and dad this morning, you need to come into this harbor and you need to get rid of some stuff. Because when you can get around with the rest of your church, it may be that our children can get around and have fellowship one with another too. Well, you don't have to say amen. I told him over in Sunday school class, I said, I wish Sister Combs could be here just for today. I need her to pat me on the back. Say, that's good preaching, Brother Benny. And she used to do that for me. Encouraged my little heart to get up and try it again. You see, I've got you and I know I caught you. And you're not going to say amen to me. You're going to sit because you know in a few minutes I'm done and you can just let it ride. But let me tell you now, you have been warned that the storm is there, that the cargo you've got is going to sink you, and you only have one recourse, and that's bring it to the Lord, get it under the blood, get it out of your mind, get it out of your heart, and God will give you something to replace it.
Amen.
He'll give you joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. He'll give you peace that passeth all understanding. And he can give you himself till you won't want nothing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Stand with me, Sister Sutherland, please, if you'll come. Now, I didn't quit at one till. I give you at least 10 minutes. And that's a record for some of you to pray 10 minutes. But I'm going to challenge you this morning. Come on up here and take this minutes and turn it into something productive. It doesn't take God all day to unload anything.
Right.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
If you're honest and you want it gone, God can do it. God can do it in just a little bit of time. Amen. I said God can do it in just a little bit of a time. It just takes you long enough to turn loose of it. You can just turn loose of it. You can roll it over on him. He'll carry it away. Will leave you with a cargo, the sweetest smelling savor will come up out of the innermost being of your vessel, and you will know that you have been received something more precious than you've ever deemed possible. You will become a sweet smelling savor unto God.
Yeah.
Come, this altar is open. Come now this morning.